John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you speak to us through your words. Please help us to listen and respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anyone recognize this? Can anyone tell me? Have a look. As you have a little think about who might have done that particular kind of artwork. Anyone got any guesses? At the back row, you seem very keen. A graffiti man, yes, do you know his name, Janice? Banksy. Who's heard of Banksy? Yeah, lots of us have heard of Banksy. This was one of his newest pieces. It appeared earlier this month, I think in Birmingham. And you can see it's a kind of Christmas-themed one, but also highlighting homelessness. I guess lots of us know Banksy. Here are some of his more famous works. Now, Banksy is undoubtedly a talented and provocative artist. But perhaps the most interesting thing about Banksy is that we don't really know who he is. He's anonymous. He has not made himself known. I wonder if we sometimes think of God like we think of Banksy. In that bit of the Bible that we just read, it even says, "No one has ever seen God." There are one or two, if you Google it, there are one or two kind of grainy photographs of someone who might possibly be Banksy. But in a world of CCTV and phone cameras and social media, no one can confidently say that they have seen Banksy. And perhaps that's how you think about God. No one has ever seen God. Perhaps you think that knowing God is a little bit like knowing Banksy. Lots of people have theories about who Banksy might be, but you can't be sure. In the same way, lots of people have different views about God, but perhaps you think there's no way that you can be certain. There's no way you can know who, if any, are actually right. Over the years, we've been able to piece together a couple of bits of information about Banksy. So we know he's a male. We know that he's white, he has a silver tooth, apparently, and he's got some sort of link with the town or city of Bristol. And perhaps in the same way, you know little bits and pieces about God, you know information about God, but you don't really know God. Perhaps, like Banksy, there is clear evidence that he exists because you've seen with your own eyes some of his artwork. So there's a piece that Banksy painted in Brighton near a railway bridge. Whenever I'm in Brighton, I go and see this piece that Banksy painted. But just because I've seen his painting doesn't mean that I know the person. And likewise, we can all see the evidence of God's handiwork, his artwork, in the things that he has made, but it's not the same as knowing God. Whether you are a Christian or not, whether you would call yourself a Christian or not, perhaps this is how you feel. No one has ever seen God. And so you feel like there's a kind of a distance. You don't know him as well as you'd like. And perhaps you're not sure if you really can know him at all. But look how that verse continues. No one has ever seen God. But the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. There may be some similarities between Banksy and God, but there is one big difference. Banksy does not want to be known, but God has made himself known. This is the Christmas message. I want to tell you with no uncertainty at all that you can know God. I want to show us with absolute and complete certainty that it is possible to know, really know God, because of the one and only Son. Because of who he is and because of what he did. So first, who he is. Who is this one and only Son? And for this, we need to go back to the start of the chapter. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. That's how a lot of stories start. But this really is taking it back to the beginning, the very beginning. Before the world was, before time was, the Word was. There was never a time where the Word was not. And what was the Word? Look again. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is someone, not something. The Word is someone who both was with God and was God. How does that work? Well, the Bible clearly reveals that God is one God who exists in three persons. Tri-unity. Trinity. This is the one God who always is, a community of loving relationship in himself. One God, three persons. And that's why we can say that the Word both was God and was with God. There is a marvelous mystery here. The glorious nature of our God pushes human language to its very limits. In his kindness, God has revealed himself through words. He speaks to us. We can speak to him. We can speak about him. But it's difficult for our words to do him justice. He is beyond description. Just as we cannot see him, neither can we fully explain him. And if we could, he would not be God. So we're beginning to see then who this one and only Son is. He is both God and he is with God. Like it says in verse 18, which is our particular verse, this one and only Son who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father. Literally in the chest of the Father. Picture the moment of birth, where the bare body of a newborn child is cradled against the bare chest of the mother. Skin to skin contact. If you've ever been in that moment, you'll know that it somehow feels like it goes even closer than that. The most intimate moment. The closest possible connection. And that is just a tiny taste of the relationship that the Son has with the Father. So you see, the one and only Son, he is the only one qualified to make God known. The only one who can make Banksy known to us is Banksy himself, or someone who is close to Banksy. And this one and only Son, he is able to make God known because, unlike us, he has seen God. He is in the closest possible relationship with God. He is himself God. This is who he is. But it doesn't stop there. Because in verse 1, he is not described as the Son. How is he described? The Word. The Son of God is the Word of God. And that name tells us something absolutely crucial about who he is. Words hold information. Words convey meaning. Words are used to explain things. Just like tonight, I'm not doing an interpretive dance for you then to try and understand what I maybe might mean. Instead, I'm using words to explain a truth. Words make things known. And the Son of God is the Word of God. Can you see what that means? There is one God, three persons. Each person of the Trinity plays a slightly different role. And the Son is called the Word, which means that his role is to communicate, to reveal, to illuminate who God is. Like it says in our verse, the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Made him known. That word means to explain, to describe, to expound, to narrate. Christmas is the season for nativity plays. Has anyone been to a nativity this year? Only a couple of people. Maybe. Oh no, you finished school, haven't you? Yeah. Pamela's been to one. Nativities, they're always the same old story, but often told in new ways. Some of them are very creative and inventive. There's all sorts of different themes that you can have, and all sorts of different characters that the children can play. But whatever the theme, whoever the characters, there is always one role which is absolutely crucial. The narrator. It might be a bit of a boring role, but it's really important. No offence to the children's acting, but unless you had the narrator, half the time you probably would have no idea what's going on. The narrator is someone who explains the story to us. The Word of God narrates God to us. He makes God known. This is who he is. The Son of God is the Word of God. And what that means is, even though we have not seen God, even though we cannot explain God, it really is possible to know God because of who he is and because of what he has done. That's the second thing, what he did. Have a look at verse 14. In fact, I've got it up on the screen if you don't want to look down. This is what he did. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling. Let me say that again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The reason I pause is because I want us to see how amazing that is. There is this person who is God and who is with God and whose very purpose is to make God known. And what does he do? He comes to us. This is why this is a Christmas message, because Christmas is the time where we celebrate that the Word of God came to us to make God known to us. This Word, who always existed outside of time, outside of a human body, stepped into time and into a human body. When Jesus was born, that was not the beginning of his life, but it was the beginning of his time in flesh. And because Jesus is the Word, that means from day one, we know exactly what he is going to be doing. We know exactly what his purpose is. He has come to make God known. And so, as we watch Jesus grow up, as we read about his life, we should expect to see God on display. And that is exactly what we do see. I wonder, have you ever read the Bible's story about who Jesus is with an expectation to see God? Just read the rest of John's Gospel and you will see God on display in what Jesus does. See God's glory revealed as Jesus turns water into wine. See God's passion for purity as he clears the temple of all the market tables. See God's power displayed as Jesus heals with a word. See God's care for the crowds as he feeds the 5,000. See God serving us as Jesus washes his disciples' feet. All you have to do is read and watch Jesus walk on water and heal people and feed the 5,000 and raise the dead, and you'll begin to understand who God is, because when you get to know Jesus, you get to know God. He is the Word who came among us and lived with us so that he might communicate God to us. Just read the rest of John's Gospel and you will see God on display in what Jesus says. Not just what Jesus does, but in what Jesus says. Listen to his words, full of truth, as he teaches mind-bending spiritual things to the religious leaders. Listen to his words, full of grace, as he reveals his identity to an immoral woman, an outcast. Listen to him explain more of his glorious relationship with his Father. Listen to him teach in public and in private. Listen to him as he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine." And as you listen to Jesus, you are hearing what God sounds like. Through his words, the Word makes God known. Just read the rest of John's Gospel, and you will see God on display in the way that Jesus dies. You see, the cross is the place where we see most clearly what God is like. A God of truth, who must punish wrongdoing because he is a God who is just. He must punish wrongdoing and sin because it is deeply offensive to his glorious goodness. A God who, in his infinite wisdom, has decided that the penalty for sin is death and hell. A God of truth and a God of grace, undeserved kindness. A God who provided a substitute in our place. A God who is that substitute. The man on a cross is the Word of God. The Word made flesh so that his flesh might be ripped apart instead of ours. He was not dying for his own sin, because he had none. Instead, he died in the place of sinners like me. And in some mysterious way, as Jesus suffered on the cross, that perfect, closest possible relationship between Father and Son was in some way broken as Jesus took on himself the punishment that I deserve. He did that for me. He did that for me so that I could have eternal life instead of eternal death, not by doing anything for him, by simply believing that he has done it for me. A God of truth, a God of grace, a God of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life, with Jesus himself, describes, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." If you want to know God, and who wouldn't, then you have to go to the cross, where God is displayed in all his beauty, where the Word makes God known. See God displayed on that third day when the flesh that had died was raised to life. Watch Jesus in his remade resurrection body, still bearing the scars of sacrifice. And as you see him, know without doubt that the person that you see is none other than your Lord and your God. And all of these things are written down that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. He is the one and only Son. There is no other way to know God. But because of Christmas, it is possible to know God. It would be pretty cool to meet Banksy and to finally know who he really is. But even better, to know God. And the good news this Christmas time is that that is possible. Even though we cannot see him, even though we cannot explain him, we can know him because the Word became flesh to make God known to us. If you want to know God, you just have to get to know Jesus. He is not hiding away. He wants to be known. He has made himself known. And many of us in this room have already got to know him, and we're getting to know him better. But this is an offer which is open to all. Perhaps, as I've been speaking, God has been making himself known to you. And you know that you need to get to know him more. Now, the best way to get to know the incarnate Word of God is in the written Word of God. The Bible is where we meet Jesus. And so what I'd invite you to do is to come back again on a Sunday. We don't normally meet in the evening, but we do every morning at 10:30. And this is what we do. We get to know God as Jesus reveals himself through his Word. And we'd also love to give you one of these. Please take this home with you if you would like. Read it and see for yourself God revealed through the life of Jesus the Word. Perhaps for some of us, God has been making himself known to you for a little while now. And you might not know everything, but you know enough of him to know that you need to believe in him. My question for you is, what's stopping you from taking that step today? For some of you in this room, I know that you know, and you know that I know, that this is the time for you to stop making excuses. You know enough of Jesus to put your trust in him. What a great way to celebrate Christmas that would be, by getting to know the Word made flesh. So I'm going to finish by praying, and I'd invite you to echo these words for yourself. As you do, if you do, this is how you come into relationship. This is how you get to know God for the first time. So let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that you are the Word of God, that you are God himself. I confess that I have not believed in you or lived for you. And I know that my sin deserves the eternal death of being away from you. Thank you that you became flesh to reveal God to us. Thank you that you died in my place and rose again so that I could know God, so that I can have eternal life. Lord Jesus, there is lots I don't know about you, but I do want to know you better. And so I worship you as my Lord and my God. Amen.